Again, moving back into the New Testament, having finished Jeremiah and Lamentations, we now come to the book of Galatians. I just wanted to read the first 9 verses for this morning's text. Chapter 1, book of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Again, Lord, as we begin the book of Galatians, Lord, we ask that you open up our heart and the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that you would deliver and restore and renew and refresh, Lord, our spiritual life, that you would comfort those that need comfort, that you would build up and encourage those in this body, Lord, that need your touch. Lord, we turn to you and we call on your name. We ask that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning the book of Galatians. Well, it feels good to be back in the New Testament. Paul, having gone to Galatia, is a region and encompasses Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, territory in through there. You remember, recall going through the book of Acts, how he ministered in that area. And he went to that area in his first, second, and third missionary trips. Here now, writing back to Galatia, this region, because as Paul left, these men would come in, Judaizers they're known as, and they came to really pervert the gospel. They came to affect and undermine Paul's message, ministry, Paul himself coming against his credentials, coming against, you know, the message of the gospel that he taught. They said, no, you can't be saved unless you become circumcised, unless you keep the law of Moses. In essence, what they were saying is you can't come to the Father unless you become a Jew. And Paul, hearing of this, writing back to the church, seeking to undo the mess that these, Judaizers, perverting the gospel, had brought, wrote the book of Galatians. He wrote it to bring freedom from, you know, the constrictions of, you know, having to keep the law, into the freedom of grace. That God and his grace is all that is required for salvation. And him writing back, trying to undo what they goofed up, he begins in the book of Galatians. Chapter 1, really, just a synopsis. 1 through 5 is his greeting, introduction. 6 through 9, he really taps into the true gospel. And then the remainder of the chapter, it speaks of Paul really defending himself, speaking, hey, I got the gospel straight from God. He said, I didn't consult or go to the apostles. They weren't the ones that gave me my position or credentials. And he says, other churches have acknowledged me to verify or validate his ministry. But seeking to really defend himself, he had to argue his own case because of the perversion of these Judaizers. So Galatians is a book about freedom, our freedom in Christ. It's a book about grace. And this morning, because of the problem that the Judaizers brought, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 4. We'll take our text out of verse 4 this morning. Paul, having the need to raise up the truth of the gospel and the truth about Jesus Christ, capitalizes right in the beginning. He says, who gave himself for our sins. The end of verse 3, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Summarizing the gospel in that he gave himself, pointing to Christ, that Christ is all we need, that Christ did everything that's necessary to be done. And him breaking it down a little bit says that Christ gave himself, you know, gave himself to the cross. He gave himself to us, the Bible tells us. He giving this assertion of the gospel because it was necessary. Because, you know, so often later on in the book of Galatians, he says, you know, he marvels, he's astonished at how quickly after he left, they soon fell. Later on in the book of Galatians, he says, you know, who has bewitched you? You know, who's tricked you? Who's sidetracked you? And he says, you've fallen from grace, fallen from the truth, that simple grace, the simple message of salvation. Now capsulizes the gospel in verse 4, stating that Christ, Jesus our Lord, gave himself. We're going to, this morning, look at a lot of scripture, and we're going to just dissect this verse, because in truth, it does capsulize our salvation, and what's necessary for our salvation. You know, he said, Christ gave himself. We look at that scripturally. We know that it was an act of, you know, his will, a voluntary act. He didn't have to do it, but he did it willingly, obediently. And in John chapter 10, he said, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I've come not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. It was a willing surrender that Jesus came. When he went to the cross and died on the cross, he did it not because he had to, but because he submissively, willingly gave himself to the will of God, to the will of his Father. The Bible says that he was willing, his willing to surrender, obedient unto death. He didn't have to. You remember his conversation with Pilate, how he said, you know, if I wanted to, I'm able to call 12 legions of angels. He could have interrupted this whole crucifixion and arrest and trial. You know, I started doing the math on that, and my calculators actually ran out of zeros. You know, each legion of angel, a legion in the Roman army was between 3 and 6,000 soldiers. You know, according to an angel in the Old Testament in Kings, he slaughtered 185,000 Assyrians. So if you do the math and computation on how many angels could have been sent if he would have just asked, you know, he would have wiped out the population of the earth, or could have. He said, you know, I don't have to be arrested. I lay down my life willingly. I could call an army of angels, a host of angels, and wipe out civilization. But he didn't. He declined. He willingly yielded a voluntary act of surrender to the Father's will. He gave himself, the scripture tells us, willingly. The Bible goes on in the scripture. He says that he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Why he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross is because his love for us. You know, people often ask, hey, is the United States in prophecy? Is it in the scripture? I don't know. But we are. We're in scripture. The Bible says that he gave himself for our sins. And You know, scripturally, in Isaiah, the Bible tells us that surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. That word wounded actually means pierced. And the word bruised in this text actually means crushed. He gave Himself for us and for our sins. You know, He gave Himself body to be broken. He tells us as He instituted communion, giving Himself for our sins, the shedding of His blood. In Romans, the Bible says that He was delivered for our offenses. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, in another synopsis, or, you know, the gospel in a nutshell, he said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." He gave Himself for our sins. You think in your mind how He willingly submitted Himself. You think, you know, if Adam wouldn't have fell and the human race wouldn't have went into sin, you know, would He have become a man and came here? Would there be an incarnation? Maybe. But there definitely wouldn't have been a cross. He willingly gave Himself to the cross. He submitted voluntarily, giving His own body to be bruised, to be wounded, to be pierced. The Bible tells us, he goes on, Paul, in this verse, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. He gave Himself a willing surrender of Himself for the purpose and the object for us, for our sins, the Bible tells us. You know, here He goes on, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. That word deliverance means to tear out, to pluck out, to remove, to rescue. You can't help but think of the scenes of this terrible tragedy all week long. Fox News. You know, and how these rescue workers from the Coast Guard standing on rooftops, you know, using their axes to tear out, to pluck out people that are stuck and cramped in their attics. Rescue, deliver. Jesus, the Bible says that He's come to deliver us from this present evil age. He died on the cross willingly. He gave Himself for us because of His love. Paul further on goes in the next book or the next chapter. Paul says that He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Therefore, I live for Him. The life that I live now in the flesh, I live for Jesus Christ. Because of His love, He willingly gave Himself to the cross. Because of His love, He gave Himself for us. To deliver us from this evil present age. This Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus sent on a rescue mission, recon, to seek and to save, to rescue those who were lost. You can't help but think about it. You know, it's brought a somber sobriety over me, over us as a family, over this church, the reality of what happened down south. You know, when you see the rescue attempts and the need for rescue, some of them on their rooftops, waving, you know, just trying to get the helicopter's attentions. Some of them under rubble, you know, buried, dead, buried alive. Some of them still stuck in their houses. They estimate thousands will the death toll rise to. 10,000, I heard. But the rescue, the need for rescue, all were there and needed to rescue because they didn't heed the warning. You know, you need to evacuate. You need to get out. And yet, the need for rescue. And here, Jesus said, He came to, He gave Himself for us, for our sins. And He came to deliver us from this evil present age, to rescue us from sin and corruptible habits and all things that oppose Him. From one place to another, He takes us. You know, as these people down south, you know, the discussions and the problem of the huge refugee, they're so massive they don't know where to bring everybody. Yet, Jesus doesn't have that problem. Jesus brings us when He rescues us from one place to another. The Bible says that He died for our sins to bring us back to God. He brings us purposely. The object of His death was His love for us and our sins. But He places us back in relationship with Him. The purpose of His death, to bring us back, rescue us out of our sin, delivering us from a life of being out of communion with Him and bringing us in fellowship with Him from one place to another. The Bible tells us of the reality of the spiritual warfare around us. Those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Paul writes to the Ephesians, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul writes to the Ephesians again, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The reality of this situation, a spiritual reality. The rescue that Jesus brings to us is spiritual. The transport, you know, the Coast Guard is up to at least 3,000 rescues now using helicopters, you know, and them little buggy things. But the transport vehicle that He uses to rescue us is a spiritual one. The reality of our spiritual need for Him, out of sync with Him, out of relationship with Him. Jesus, the Bible said, gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. It's real, the present evil age. The Bible says in the book of James, don't love the world. Don't you know that anyone that loves the world is at enmity with God? Come apart, be separate. The Bible tells us that He delivers us from this evil present age. Peter wrote, He died for us, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. A spiritual release, rescue, a help. The place that He wants to take us spiritually is the place that He went Himself. The Bible says that He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Paul, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. The place that He wants to take us, the rescue. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul, writing of his freedom from the world crucified to him through the cross. Jesus gave Himself to us at the cross. The Bible talks about He gave Himself as a substitute, a propitiation, four times mentioned in the Bible. You know, meaning He died there in our place. And in our stead, He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible talks about what He has accomplished, what He has wrought, what purpose and object He was trying to fulfill is that He would deliver us from this evil present age. Delivered, freed. That's what the book of Galatians is all about, being free in Christ. You know, the Bible goes on that all this was done according to the will of God. You know, in the book of Romans, the Bible says that He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up to us all. You know, how much more shall He freely give us? You know, with Him, how much more will He freely give us? You know, all done according to the will of God. God's plan, predestined to die for us in our place. Turn to 2 Corinthians. One more scripture here. Look in verse chapter 5. Verse 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. He not only died to set us free from this evil present age, but to free us from ourselves, from a selfish, self-centered life. He rescues us. The purpose of the cross, the purpose of His death, is that we might now live for Him. That's what the Bible tells us. Paul, finding the need to exalt and lift up again the truth of the gospel, you know, tells the Galatians that He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, Lord, cause us to realize the reality that You gave Yourself for us. Lord, that You gave Yourself for us because of our sins. And that to deliver us from this present evil age, Lord, that You accomplish Your purpose in us according to Your plan, according to Your will, according to the will of the Father. Lord, we afresh submit our hearts to You. And we ask that You have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, you can be seated. This morning, first Sunday of the month, we're going to take part in communion. We'll read a little passage in Hebrews. Concerning blood. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for man, once to die, for after this the judgment, so Christ has offered once to bear the sins of men. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. You know, we're talking about the blood. We're going through the book of Acts. And as Paul was sharing back in chapter 20, he mentioned
know, he was going back to the churches, strengthening the churches. He was saying, you know, he was teaching repentance toward God. Not, you know, a positive way to repent. You know, God wants us to just turn to Him and open our heart to Him. You know, so often you mix repentance, like as in Jeremiah, with the turning away from your sin. But Paul, in the Gospel, in the New Testament, teaching in the book of Acts, he just, you know, it's not turning away from sin, that's a part of it, but the action is turning toward God. Bringing ourselves to God. Turning our hearts, our souls to God. He'll cleanse us. I was reading an article about blood. You know, how our blood, it's amazing. We all have about 5 quarts of blood. Our blood, you know, has made up of millions of red blood cells. 1 liter, there's millions of red blood cells. There's white blood cells that fights diseases for antibodies. There's platelets that coagulate, you know, heal, bring healing. Jesus said, you know, the Bible teaches us that life is in the blood. And it's true, because our blood courses through our veins. You know, His blood brings healing to us. His blood, you know, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins and no forgiveness of sins. Paul saying repentance towards God. We're to show up before Him. And as we come to Him. And to ask Him, you know, infuse us, Lord, with Your life. You know, we need a blood transfusion. You know, His blood cleanses. His blood heals. His blood delivers. His blood frees. And He's calling us only to show up, to come to Him, repent towards God. That's what communion is all about. It's an opportunity to consider, recall, put God as our priority, as He should be. As Jesus said, you know, remember His body broken. I was watching a science program. Chris and I were talking about this. That, you know, for years they said that your hand wouldn't support a nail in crucifixion. The weight of your arm would tear your hand off the cross. So they said if they nailed Christ, Jesus, through the hand, then they must have tied Him to the cross member of the cross. That's what partly was theory for years. Recently, scientific discoveries, they find these 6-inch spikes that were used in crucifixion. There's gopher wood on the front. They theorized that they used wood washers, which would validate the truth that the nail spike went through his hand using a wood washer that would support the weight of his arm. You know, as science validates and verifies the account of Scripture, the truth that Jesus teaches us, I gave myself to you. I gave myself for your sin. You know, I give my life to you. And as we remember His body broken this morning, and His blood, life-giving blood, Lord, help us receive an infusion. Ask for life. The property that His blood brings, we can claim it. He asks us to claim it, to step up. It belongs to us. So, as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, who has a song? Chuck has a song. Let's consider what He's done. He's given Himself for us to deliver us, to free us, to fill us, to heal us, to cleanse us, to nurture us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to comfort us. The blood of Jesus Christ.
necessary
said, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's take part together. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins.
You know, the Bible tells us that it's not only communion is not only a time of recollection for us to recall, you know, Jesus giving his body broken for us, being nailed to the cross, shedding his blood, pouring out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. But it's a time of celebration. The reality that he did it for us, that's something to rejoice in. So let's stand up and praise the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. One further announcement. If anybody's interested in the 9/11 to help out, you know, you can talk to me or Roseanne and, you know, to volunteer in one capacity or another. You know, we're going to cook hot dogs or hand things out or this and that. So if you want to participate in one way or another, please let us know. Hey, God bless. Have a great week.